Let's go to the sermon topic today, which is found in Romans 13. Romans 13. It's a difficult subject matter. It is easy to bypass the seriousness of this, but let's delve into this. In Romans chapter 13, there's a statement about Jesus Christ. So you could say that this is regarding the doctrine of Jesus Christ from the standpoint of day-to-day living. Let's go to Romans 13. Wonderful passage here. In verse 14, you're to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. You put on Christ. Some accounts translate it, clothe yourself with Jesus Christ. Let Jesus Christ dominate you. Now, that's something you have to give attention to. Just because you're baptized doesn't mean everything works out automatically. It doesn't work that way. We have to constantly renew our contact with Christ, constantly fight against Satan the devil, constantly battle against the distractions of this world. Every day renewal, so we can be strong in the Lord. You know, there are these statements in scriptures, be strong in the Lord. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, those are very important statements. Those are great truths. We can hear those statements and can have these vague ideas about what they actually mean. They're very practical. They're meant to be kept. They're meant to be obeyed. But it's difficult to put Christ on every day in all of our actions. It's difficult to, as the Apostle Paul said so well in 2 Corinthians, he said, and this is very challenging, very difficult, when it comes to our thoughts, we're to submit all of our thoughts to Jesus Christ. We have all these thoughts that exalt themselves against Jesus Christ, but we need to bring into captivity the way Paul says it. So that's what we're talking about today. We need to put Christ on. Well, how do you do that? Well, maybe it's worthwhile going to 2 Corinthians. Let's just go to 2 Corinthians very quickly. I didn't write it down, but I think it's very important. Because you have to be able to put Christ on, and we don't walk by sight, we walk by faith, okay? We walk by faith, and we need to cast down all those thoughts. Well, the human flesh is something that we just have to battle constantly, and it's very, very difficult sometimes to battle that human flesh. Casting down all imagination. Where is it? I should know that. It's in 2 Corinthians.
2 Corinthians 10:5.
Yeah, I was in 2 Corinthians 10. I just missed it. Yes. Thank you. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5. I didn't have it highlighted. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into the captivity and the obedience of Christ. Very important passage, so that's what we're talking about. That takes effort. That takes time. You have to give this your attention and time. It's very important. So how do you put on Christ? And there's a lot under that title, but I just want to give you some examples today as we see the way Jesus Christ did things, how he managed his life. So let's take a look. This is of first importance, so I mention this first. Truly, the counsel that God gives us here by witnessing the example of Jesus Christ, though it is obvious, if you do this, and I mean you grab a hold of this and you are rigorous about this, and you don't flinch and you're unrelenting, and there are no excuses in your mind in doing this, it will make an enormous difference in your life. But you can be in the church for years. Many of us have been members for years, and we forget the importance of this, or it grows dim in our minds. Christ did this. Let's watch how he worked. Because if I want to put on Christ, I want to do things the way he did things. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 35, Mark 1 and verse 35. Mark 1 and verse 35. Paramount importance. Verse 35, now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place to be alone. To be alone, and there he prayed. You must, on a daily basis, give your undivided attention. He gave his undivided attention to God the Father. I know that I talk about this quite a bit, but I have to constantly remind myself and everyone else because of the extremely crazy and extreme world we live in, where there is so much that comes into our lives, people's opinions, television, the internet, texting, Facebook, stuff, neighbors. It's amazing what humans do. It's kind of funny, isn't it? Now, I like a good movie, as long as it's a good movie. I like watching a story, but I'm the type, if I'm at the movie theater or I'm in my home and I'm watching a movie, I don't want people talking. You know, I've had friends or something, I don't want them talking. If I were married, I would tell my wife, be quiet. I don't want to hear, oh, I've been there. That's a scene from da-da-da. I don't want to hear anything because I like to focus totally in on the movie. Most all of us have something in our lives. We give it total attention, exercise, or maybe your favorite TV program that you record, or you're reading a book. It's amazing that humans will find that time and place to give their undivided attention. But when it comes to going before the Father, people allow themselves to be interrupted. They'll look at their cell phones. They'll play on their computer. They'll respond to their families. Stop that. Christ found a way constantly to have that uninterrupted time with the Father. It's the epitome of respect to give God the Father that uninterrupted time. I'm alone a lot, obviously. You know, I don't have a wife or kids, but it's still difficult. I have to rein myself in. No looking at the phone, no doing this. Thoughts come to your mind, take care of this. Show that respect. Jesus Christ did that. That's our example. That's an obvious way that I think sometimes we miss of putting on Jesus Christ, being like him. It has to start there. Because if that's out of balance in your life, brethren, you're going to lack wisdom. You're going to lack spiritual sensitivity. You're going to lack the power to get through life, the power to overcome, the power to deal with the trials and the storms. Because you're not giving the Father your undivided attention. It's another way of keeping that commandment that says, you shall have no other gods before me. We forget about these things. It's an everyday practice that says plainly, God, you are first. If you're constantly distracted in your prayer, now you can define yourself or think of yourself as dedicated, which you are. I know you are, but if we're losing ourselves a lot in the distractions of this world, we have to answer the uncomfortable question, is the Father really first? We could be very sincere, love God, all those things are true, but it's so easy not to put the Father first. You put the Father first, finding that time, whatever it is for you. I'm not going to get into minutes. It's a very personal matter whether you do it in the middle of the day, in the morning, in the evening. These are all personal routines that work best for us as individuals. Undistracted time with the most important being in all the universe. It matters so much. Let's go to Psalm 46. Psalm 46. It's a simple lesson. It's a simple example, but most people don't practice it. And even in the church after 20, 30 years, it's still a battle for me. It's very important, though, but it's a battle. And when I fail, I feel very guilty, which I should. It's a good guilt, not a destructive guilt, but it's a good guilt. Okay, let's go to Psalm 46. Psalm 46. What is more important, truly, than spending time with your Father alone? If we don't do that, our discernment grows dim. We have to make decisions throughout the day. The power to fight off the lusts of the flesh, the power to deal with the pride of life, the power to keep our anger at bay, right? The power to love your husband or your wife, the power isn't there. I've seen a lot of this over the years in the church, and I include myself, well-meaning people, dedicated people, lacking power. And they don't overcome that much. And the personality problems are still there year after year. Poor decision-making, and they're good people. They're wonderful people, and they're sincere people. And they love God, but they don't spend time in front of the Father who is all-powerful. And so, if they're not spending time with the Father, you won't be able to do all things through Christ who strengthens you. That strength comes through the time commitment, whatever you choose to do, that only comes through that uninterrupted time. Could you imagine Moses going into the Holy of Holies at any given time and before God, as far as going into the Holy of Holies, when he had to go into the Holy of Holies, before the presence of God, of Christ in the Holy of Holies, and jumping in and out of the most holy place, bobbing around? I mean, it'd be totally unthinkable. It is no different, brethren. None. I don't think it's any different at all. Satan will do everything he can to keep you away from that contact with the Father. I believe, personal opinion, that most people leave the Church of God who were truly part of the Church of God. Most people leave it beginning with lack of contact with the Father that continues over the weeks, the months, and sometimes the years. And then the flow of God's Spirit is reduced down to a thin little trickle. And then eventually the Spirit of God just leaves people. You should be frightened. We should all be frightened. Not that I envision you, any of you leaving. You're all very, very dedicated. I don't mean that at all. But that can happen to any of us. And Satan wants it to happen. The Laodicean church at the time of the end is not close to the Father. They just aren't. So it's a battle. And I know you're battlers, and I know you fear God, and I believe you're close to God. I want to make that clear. I really believe so many of you are close to God, but it is a bigger fight than we realize. It's a very important fight. So we go to Psalm 46. Psalm 46. And I think this was one of the reasons why David was used so much of God. There was the period of time he stumbled terribly and he sinned, but Psalm 46, be still. Brethren, you need to find that time to be still, not preoccupied with all these other things. Be still and know that I am God. But how can you know that he is God and get that sense of security, peace of mind, and calmness unless you're close? You may think this is an exaggeration, but it's not. For me, the most important job I have is driving you to your knees. The most important job I have is driving you to your needs. So if I crack the whip a little bit, believe me, I have to crack the whip on myself. Because if you're not close to God, when it comes to doctrine, you'll start to get confused over doctrine. You'll start to have wrongful questions. If you're not close to God, your marriages will start to deteriorate. I've seen it happen so many times. If you're not close to God, if the Father has not been put first through that contact, foul language will enter into your world and come out your tongue. You'll be more patient with wrongful images, TV, the internet. You'll become more sarcastic. You'll become hardened in heart. You'll start compromising with God's law in subtle little ways. You'll be less likely to forgive quickly. You need to be close. If Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, in the flesh on the earth, constantly was close to the Father, there was a reason for that. It was not a religious ritual. He needed the Father. He wanted the contact. He wanted the Father's opinion. He constantly was seeking out the Father's guidance and opinion when he went away into the wilderness or rising early in the morning. Keep that door constantly open. It's a wonderful thing. Be still, brethren. You have to find that way to be still. Let's go to Psalm 62. David was very good with this for the most part. You can see this in the Psalm. Psalm 62 in verse 1. Truly my soul silently waits for God. Silently waits for God. Okay? Well, waiting, it takes time. In verse 5, my soul waits silently for God alone. You have to be alone with him, okay? You have to be alone with him. Moses had to go up into the mountain to be alone with God before he received the Ten Commandments. Christ had to be alone with the Father in prayer and fasting for 40 days and 40 nights before he fought Satan. Even the Apostle Paul often would find ways to be alone, was in Arabia alone for a long period of time, being instructed by Jesus Christ. You read of that in the book of Galatians. But if you give occasional attention to this great action, you're not going to be close. And we hurt ourselves when we're not close. So I know I've talked about this before, but we need to be constantly reminded about this. Because if that's weak, everything else is going to be weak, brethren. Everything else. Another way that we put on Jesus Christ, this may seem a little bit odd to you, but it's true. Jesus Christ was a good listener. So let's talk about how Jesus Christ listens. I remember this British gentleman. He was an older man and very, very dedicated to God and feared God. You know, I worked with the British for a number of years, on and off for 5 years. And this man was very, very dedicated. And he said, you know, Americans, they have many strengths. They've got a lot of energy. Americans get things done. They're doers. He said, that's very good. And they're very friendly people. He said, I've always appreciated that. But he said, Americans are horrible listeners. In personal conversations, you'll start talking and they'll jump in and they'll interrupt. Or you will try to communicate with them in some way and they don't listen. Somebody I know from Germany said the very same thing. He said, you know, you Americans, you don't stop and listen. You just blurt out your opinions all the time. That's so true, isn't it? I mean, we can laugh at this a little bit of our culture. There's so much talk radio and opinions. And look, giving your opinion is not always wrong. There's so much, sometimes you almost have to take a break from it. I'll go to different talk radio programs. They could be talking about the Middle East, world news. They could be talking about the recent election issues. After a while, and I'm going to begin tomorrow, I'm just going to take a lot of time off where I just don't have that constant noise going in my head. Another thing this British man said, which I think is so funny, he said, why do Americans always have to be listening to something? Why do they always have to be playing music in the background or have a TV on? Or you go to their restaurants, I've mentioned this before, and they've got all these TVs in a restaurant. When a restaurant is a place when you get together with friends and family and you're supposed to be talking to one another. Why do Americans always have to be fidgeting and doing things? That is not a strength of our culture. Americans have a lot of strengths. We can be go-getters. We can be highly energized. We get things done. That's a wonderful compliment. That's true. That's why Americans, as a general rule, do well in business. I mean, for the most part, that's dying in our culture, but you still find a lot of Americans, you know, kind of their go-getters and their hard workers. He said Americans don't know how to put things aside and just focus on one thing at a time. This German gentleman, because I was interested to see how they view the American culture, okay? This German gentleman, he said, you don't know how to relax. You're not a relaxed people. He said, we here in Germany, we work hard. But when we leave work, we leave work. When we go home, now we're with our family and our friends. And on the weekends, we don't work. On the weekends, again, we get together with family and friends. You know, in Germany, they like to go ride their bicycles or walk in nature. Then Sunday's the walk in nature day or Saturday, however they do it. He says, you Americans, you're always doing stuff, or you work 7 days a week and you think that's good. Interesting, isn't it? The reason I mention all of this, when you're constantly distracted, and I know this segues in, it's closely related to what I was talking about, giving your undivided attention to God, you've got to listen. Jesus Christ knew how to listen to the word of God. Let's go to Luke chapter 11. Let's go to Luke chapter 11. Learn to listen to people. Listen to your spouse. Let them finish a conversation. Don't interrupt them. Listen to what they're saying. It's funny, I'll go to restaurants and you'll see spouses talking and inevitably somebody's interrupting somebody. Groups of people talk over one another. I was at next to a table of women. Ladies, don't get angry with me. Ladies, I said, don't get angry with me. It's really funny. So there's a whole group of women and they're all talking and interrupting each other for like an hour. And so I said to them, ladies, do you ever let the other person finish? I did with a little bit of a smile and they just looked at me. They all stopped and looked at me and they laughed a little bit and I probably shouldn't have done it. And I'm glad they were good sports. They said, yeah, but my point's most important. And if I don't speak up, they won't hear it. And we joked and teased. And then I said, do you do that to your husbands? And they said, nah, they don't listen to us anyway. So we had a lot of fun with it. Americans are not good listeners. And that can impact us spiritually speaking. Listen, because God is often talking. God can use other people, friends, family, the church, sermonettes, sermons, songs, you know, even special music. We'll have special music on December the 26th. Dr. Wardle's going to pick out a piece. I've learned to listen even to music in the words because God can be speaking through that medium. Very important. We're not good listeners. And I need to go to Luke 11:28. This is important. People don't think about this. This is the way Christ behaved. When I go to the throne of God, I know he's listening to me. And Christ is high priest at the right hand of the Father. They're listening. They're not chit-chatting, so to speak. They listen. Christ was a very good listener. Verse 27, Luke 11 and verse 27. And it happened as he spoke these things, so Christ was speaking, that a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him. So it happened as Christ spoke these things that, ladies, don't get angry with me, that woman interrupts him. Okay, men interrupt too. I think women interrupt more than men do, from my observations, but men they just tune out and don't listen at all. You know, they'll be reading the paper while the wife's talking to them. So I'm going to be in big trouble. Nobody's going to be talking to me this week. Okay. So I do this because it's a lot of fun. But there's just truth. And it happened as he spoke these things that a certain woman interrupted him, raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts which nursed you." True. I mean, it was a genuine comment and it was meant in high regard. And Jesus Christ said, "More than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God." You've got to hear that word. This is where we get into Bible study or even listening to a sermon or a sermonette or hymns. When you're hearing the word of God, no matter how it is clothed, whether through song, poetry, whether it is used in a sermon, sermonette, or whether you're reading scripture, give it your full attention. Listen, 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 listen. It's so very important. Let me give you an example of this. This is how I know that Christ was a good listener. Let's go to Matthew 4. Matthew 4. Listen to the sermons. Maybe it's a topic you're not interested in. Listen. I can guarantee you, you know, unless you're listening to a false minister, even if the topic doesn't interest you, there's going to be a scripture or two that can help you, that God is possibly using to get your attention, whether you like the person's delivery or you don't like the delivery. Mature beyond those things, okay? And I believe you do, brother. I don't mean to get angry or heavy-handed here, but I just know the way the human mind works. Just listen to it. It's so important. Let's go to Matthew 4 and let's see what Jesus Christ did here. This is very interesting. Matthew 4. Sometimes we don't think of this. So Jesus Christ fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Most important battle ever fought, ever. So he prepares for it by fasting. Now he knew the word of God by heart. He grew up with it. He retained it. Now he knew it. So in that sense, he didn't have to bring a Bible with him, but he knew it because you could see because he was constantly quoting the scripture. So he faces the tempter. In verse 4, it says, "And he answered and said to the tempter," because Satan was trying to get him to create bread out of stones to give in to the physical needs of hunger. "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." I'm stating the obvious here, but we often miss the obvious. Christ heard the mouth of God and applied it in this battle. So when you're going through trials, or you have a problem or a major decision, or you're going to God in faith, or you're dealing with someone who's hostile toward you, you always counter with the word of God. Not your opinion, not what you feel like. You know, people will say things like, "Well, I had to get it off my chest." Well, okay, I understand. There's a time for that. There's a time to vent, but there's a time not to vent. What should be dominant with all of us, whatever we do, we have a good scriptural reason for doing it. Christ lived according to it. So he knew the word of God, but you have to listen to it. Every time the tempter came to him, he used the word of God. So when you're ready to give someone a piece of your mind because you think they deserve it, what does the word of God counsel you to do? When you're ready to jump in to make a decision because you just know this is the right decision, what does the word of God say? Often we just don't live by it. We mean well. We're filled with energy or emotion. But what's really driving the decision? It has to be the word of God. It's there for our protection. Jesus Christ did this. Let's go to Mark 4. This is very interesting. Mark 4. Mark 4. So when you read your Bible, go to the scripture ready to listen to God. Okay? Mark 4. Mark chapter 4. Verse 23. Mark 4, 23. Very important what he says here. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Every time you hear a sermon, sermonette, a song that is sung in church based on the word of God, have ears to hear. Pay attention. Don't say, oh, I already know that scripture. That can be dangerous. Think maybe God's trying to drive a point home to you even deeper. Maybe he's trying to send a message. Often God speaks to us, brethren. I'm so convinced of this. He speaks to us, but we don't have ears to hear. We're distracted, or we assume we know what is being discussed. Oh, I understand that doctrine. Or I know, yeah, I need to be submissive to my husband, or I need to be more gentle with our wife. Oh, yeah, I know I need to work on these things. But we're not really listening to God. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Verse 24. Then he said to them, take heed. Take heed, an old expression, means I'm warning you. You're not paying attention. Wake up. Wake up. Understand what you hear. With the same measure you use it, if you're listening intently to what I say in the Word of God, use it. I will bless you. But if we don't use the Word of God, if we don't listen to the Word of God, he's not going to bless us. God wants to bless us. So listen to the Word of God. With the same measure you use it, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given, brethren. Blessings, not just understanding, not just academic understanding of the Bible, but across the board. The Father wants to say, you know, this person always listens to me. And their Bible study, they take seriously, because if I tell them through study, you need to overcome your temper, or you need to treat your spouse differently, or you need to be forgiving of this church member, they really take it to heart. Have you ever talked to somebody about this before, maybe a friend or a family or church member, and you say in a private conversation, you know what I like about so-and-so? They may have their weaknesses, but they always take it to heart. A lot of people don't take it to heart. They think they know the scriptures. They don't know it deeply. Again, we're dealing with respect here. So you want to give it your full attention. Studying doctrine and knowledge is good, but what's so important is often my behavior, my thought patterns, my attitudes. Am I putting on Jesus Christ? For whoever has, to him will be given more. And this can impact every area of your life, from your closeness to God, to your family life, to business blessings, to financial blessing, to counsel and direction. Listen. Listen to the Word of God. Give it time and attention. So important. Why don't we go to John 16? John 16. I'm sure you've had this experience with other people. John 16. There are timing issues in life when we talk to people. It was the last night he was to be with the disciples. He loved them. They were his closest friends. They were family to him. He was about to die for them. John 16, John 16. In verse 11, it says that the ruler of this world is about to be judged because Christ was to totally defeat Satan at the cross and then to be raised from the dead. It's very important what he was doing. And then verse 12, he says something which in a way was sad. In verse 12, he says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot hear them now. They couldn't hear them because they were immature. Remember that evening itself, they were fighting over who was going to be the greatest. Immature, carnally minded, distracted. He loved them. I've often asked myself, And I'm sure Christ would have said to me, you know, Steve, I have more to tell you, but your frame of mind is such that I can't tell you right now. It's not enough for you to understand or to value, or maybe it's correction. More often than not, he wants to give us more understanding, perhaps even wants to bless us, but we're too immature. We're too immature. So we show maturity by listening and then saying, you know, I need to be doing that. The Word of God tells me this, and I'm not doing this the way I should be doing it. And God sees that and is very responsive to that. It's just wonderful. Mark chapter 15. I don't think Jesus Christ was talking all the time. Now, please understand, we all know people who are very talkative, and that isn't wrong per se. It's their personality, and it's wonderful because they keep the conversations going. They could be a lot of fun. I'm not against you if you're a talkative person. That is not per se a bad thing. That's really not what I'm driving at here. But Jesus Christ did not feel he needed to give his opinion on everything. Okay, Mark 15. We're a very opinionated culture here in America. I don't have to give my opinion constantly about everything. It's just a time to be quiet. Listen and be quiet. Think things through and then maybe later on talk to people. Or then maybe say nothing at all. You will usually find the wisest people are more quiet people. As a general rule, not always, there are exceptions. As a general rule, the wisest people tend to be a little bit more on the quiet side. Mark chapter 15. Now, Pilate's going after Christ, attacking him. And Pilate asked him again in verse 4, saying, do you answer nothing? See how many things they testify against you? But Jesus still answered nothing. And Pilate marveled. It's an extreme example, I know, and you could use other examples. Yeah, well, what about this or what about that? But it was just a time for Jesus not to answer. You'll find often he was attacked by the Sadducees or the Pharisees, and he wouldn't get into these long arguments, these big discussions. Even the Apostle Paul tells us, don't be known as somebody who's constantly involved in an argument. There's a time to argue. I understand that. I realize with a spouse, there's a time to argue and air things or get it out. I understand that. But for the most part, God doesn't want us to be people who are constantly arguing. It just isn't his manner. It just isn't his way. And I think our culture, again, is very so argument-oriented. It's just to an extreme. And we don't want to be that way. And Jesus Christ, on occasion, he would rebut the religious leaders, but so often he didn't bother. He didn't get into long arguments or discussion. Sometimes when he talked on a more personal basis, it was rather simple. He would talk to the crowds, crystal clear. His messages were very simple. He wasn't trying to convince people through arguments. I understand there's a time for that. Okay? There's a time for that. I was looking at something the Apostle Paul wrote here, but I won't get into that today because we're just lacking in time. So just understand the way Jesus Christ dealt with people. And there are many proverbs, of course, that deal with this particular topic. Point I'm trying to make is listen to the Word of God when you study the Bible, then apply it in your life. Listen. Listen to other people as well. Okay? Let's go to James. We'll conclude this point. James. Wonderful passages. And Jesus Christ evidenced this in his own behavior. James chapter 1 and verse 19. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. That is not the American culture. You could be in a meeting, right? I'll keep it private because maybe the person doesn't want me to mention this, but they were telling me about a business meeting they were in and about this other individual who just constantly had to give their opinion and just blurt it out there. You know, oftentimes in a meeting, you just don't blurt it out. I think we think because we believe something is right and correct, we got to blurt it out. It doesn't work that way. Or because we care. Yeah, but I care. Well, Christ cares, but he isn't constantly blurting things out. We go to the Word of God, and really the Word of God, Bible study is a very gentle exercise in the sense of you just read, you take it in, and you listen. Now, it can smite you because the Word of God smites you. It's true, but it's a private endeavor. James chapter 1, be swift to hear, quick to give your opinion, and hit them hard with the truth. No. Slow to speak. And then this is wonderful. Slow to wrath. You know, Jesus Christ was not angry with people all the time. The people he was most angry with on the earth were the self-righteous religious leaders. Now, if you want to get angry with somebody, have at these self-righteous types. Okay? Swing away. Time the swinging of that baseball bat. There's a timing issue. Then hit them. They are the most difficult people to deal with. Self-righteous people are the most difficult people to deal with. And remember, it was self-righteous people who pushed and pushed and pushed to kill Jesus Christ. I mean, our sins were responsible. I understand that. But the mechanism of that day was done through the self-righteous people. Such a dangerous sin, such a horrific, prideful sin is self-righteousness. But that's another topic for another day. There's a time to talk to people. There's a time to raise your voice. There's a time to be angry. We all know that. Just be careful. Give it thought, prayerful attention. Use the Word of God. Look at how Jesus Christ dealt with people. Okay, and then my favorite example of this, and I'll close with this. Let's go to Luke. I had another point, but I'll save it for another time. I know these are two simple points. Undivided attention to the Father, point number one. And then listening. Give a lot of energy to your listening. Be a very, very good listener to the Word of God and a very good listener to other people. You don't have to agree with other people. You can disagree, but listen to them. If you go to Luke, it's either in Luke 9 or Luke 10, I always forget. I think I'd remember because it's one of my favorite passages and it shows us so much about what a person he is. This is the way you put on Christ, patient with people, listen to them, not soon to wrath, spending time with the Father in humility, okay? Because it can make such a difference, because it matters so much. Love the story that you see so much of Christ in this, a lot here. So they were passing through a hostile region, a Gentile region, a Samaritan region. Samaritans didn't like the Jews. The Jews didn't like the Samaritans. There was a lot of tension between the groups. In verse 51 of Luke chapter 9, Luke 9:51, now it came to pass when time had come for him to be received up that he steadfastly, with determination, great determination, set his face to go to Jerusalem and sent messengers before his face. And as they went, they entered a village of the Samaritans to prepare for him, to prepare for him. And verse 53, but they did not receive him. The Samaritans were hostile and said, we don't want you here. You're not welcome here. Get out. Very hostile. When the disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and to consume them just as Elijah did? And Jesus Christ turned to them. He was angry. He rebuked his disciple. He was angry. Rebuke is not a word we use much, but he went after these disciples verbally, raised his voice with great authority. He's very upset. He got in their grill, okay? Have you ever heard that expression? I'm going to get in his grill. He got in their grill real quick on this. He rebuked them. You don't know what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. So easy to attack. There is a time for that, but it takes a lot of wisdom and prayerful consideration before you attack. Have to make sure God is in that attack. So Christ is saying here, look, they don't know, they don't understand, they're blind. I'm not here to hurt them. I'm here to die for those people as well. And the disciples, being hard-hearted, they just didn't understand at that point. Okay, let's go back to Romans 13. We'll close again with that passage in Romans 13. Romans 13. Put on Christ. Spend time with the Father, because if you don't, if I don't spend time with the Father, I'm not going to have the wisdom. I'm not going to have the power to get through this insane world, this frustrating, discouraging, crazy world. I'm just not going to be able to get through it properly. Romans 13. Romans 13. Beautiful passage. In verse 13, Romans 13:13, let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry or drunkenness, not in lewdness, all types of sexual imagery. You know, we live in a pornographic age. You know that. It's all over the magazines, on the internet. I mean, just lewd. The people's, the way they look, and lust, not in strife and envy. That's the world we live in. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Think like him. Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Covetousness, coveting material things, sexual passions, gluttony, way too much entertainment. All of these things are types of lust. But you need to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will not be able to do that unless you're spending time with the Father who called you, and unless you give careful attention to hearing the Word of God.